If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS is a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and of course, lots of music. Check out OSIRISPod.com for more great podcasts. The show starts now. Just listening to People Say from Simo, a band that consists of namesake J.D. Simo on guitar, with Elad Shapiro and Adam Abrashoff making up the rhythm section. This three-piece power trio isn't defined by traditional blues boundaries, or for that matter, any, as you'll soon hear. They released their sophomore record, Rise and Shine, last year, and spend a great deal of time on the road. We sat down with JD last week, and our conversation started when I asked JD about the notion that he is a guy that makes music that is difficult to define.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it people's perception is always different from what your intent is, you know. And I just like a lot of different types of music, and I'm really drawn to things that I think are truthful or that are pure, I guess, in a way. And I just try and I really enjoy the learning process. I have an inquisitive mind about things, so I'm always kind of wanting to scratch other itches, as it were. And I just do what comes natural and what feels natural, and like many other people, it's just an amalgam of a lot of different things that I personally enjoy.
Right, but at the heart of it is this power trio, right? I mean, at the heart of it is Adam and Elad sort of driving this power trio, and it offers an opportunity to do a lot more than just, you know, sort of those blues type numbers. I mean, it's a hefty jam session, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, with us, it any piece of material can really is kind of open ended. It doesn't really some songs more than others tend to go to other places more often. But that being said, they're all somewhat open-ended. And I think that the strive every night is to keep it somewhat spontaneous and kind of fight any element of routine. Because that, for one, it makes it more enjoyable for us, but if it's more enjoyable for us and we're having a good time, then it's more, I think it's more likely that the audience will have a good time too. And when you're doing stuff night after night after night after night, and you do things all the time, you know, it's really becomes difficult to fight the routine. And you know, to me, I enjoy it. I enjoy music a lot more when it's not routine, and it's like I said, when it's pure. You know, that's kind of the goal for us night after night.
And that's probably what inspires the taping policy, right? I mean, you have a similar taping policy to the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, and to a certain extent, that's just, just to be polite to the people coming, you know, because it rarely is ever the same in any regard. And if someone wants to document it, they're free to do so.
You're a band, obviously, that changes up the set lists and have enough material to do that. Do you throw in, you know, favorite covers as well into the set?
No, I don't really enjoy playing covers. I think there's enough people out there doing that. For us, it's more of, playing the material that's ours and trying to vary that night to night. And to try and play it somewhat differently night after night.
Is that a challenge for you guys to do you listen back to things and say, you know, when we played that version of that particular song, when we played that version of The Climb, it was really hot. Let's go back and play that again, or let's go back and play.
Well, no, I mean, I not generally, no, because I, to be honest with you, like, that's what I'm trying to, that's what I'm personally, like, trying to fight. I'm trying to fight not doing something the same way again. So I personally, if once I hear something that I've done, it makes it more difficult for me to kind of leave it open palate, be able to approach it freshly again, if that makes any sense. So I personally kind of avoid that, and just let it be whatever it's supposed to be that particular night, you know, and try and start fresh every night, if you will.
But certainly playing, you know, 300 days together a year and being on the road together all the time, there has to be some, what is the consistent measure in all of your shows? Is it the catalog of work? Is it your each of your ability? What is the consistent sort of thing that is in the mix? Because certainly,
well, the consistent thing is it's the three of us.
Right.
It's a body of work. You know, it's a body. The thing that's consistent is the body of work, and I would like to think that the consistent thing is the intent. You know, the intent of going up to, as I'm saying, like to offer something that is pure and of that evening, which is, as I'm saying, is very difficult. When you do something again and again and again, it's, you have to find as many different ways as possible to try and keep it spontaneous, you know? And so lately it's been, you know, not only varying the set lists, but even varying, like, you know, making sure that they're that songs aren't even necessarily in the same general portion of the set, even somewhat. Like last night, we essentially closed with a song that we had opened the show with on another night, you know.
And do you play different guitars, or do you just stick with, you know, whatever acts that you have at the time?
I have one old, very old guitar that's like my main instrument, and that it's an old 62 335 that I've had for quite a while, and that's really the only instrument that I really ever care to play. I've got a lot of really nice old instruments, but I only ever really want to play that one, so that's generally the one I reach for, because that's what's most comfortable, and I don't really find myself thinking that much when I'm playing that one.
Is the opportunity to play more instrumentals, I mean, is that where you are able to move out a little more and try newer things, or is it really even just in the standard songs that you write, you know,
No,
it's everything.
It's anything.
Right? Yeah.
It's anything. No, it doesn't have to be, 'cause really, I mean, technically we only do one instrumental in our repertoire, but no, any of them are kind of open to if, you know, wherever they're going to go, you know.
So when you sit down, the three of you sit down to write Rise and Shine and pick out the songs that ultimately make it to the record, are you cognizant of the parts that, you know, will be performed differently live, or is it just, let's lay down these tracks, let's get it all on the record, we all understand how these songs are played, and then in a live performance, you are trying to do I Want Love differently every time, or Light the Candle?
Yeah, when you're making a record, making a record and live are two very drastically different things. And so on a record, you're trying to capture a really good performance with everything working together in a methodical way, sonically and so on and so forth. There's a lot of things to be mindful of when you're making a record. Whereas live is a very different situation. And so, yeah, when we're making a record, it's you're trying to make the best record that you can. You're trying to encapsulate the best you can the mood of the song in a way that's going to best represent the things about the song that you think are good. It's a different thing. You're trying to purely, you know, use that piece, as it were, to entertain folks. And, to entertain people, you have to be kind of into what you're doing. And, and like I'm saying, you know, try and be pure and into it and spontaneous and so on and so forth. Whereas, you know, on record, it is a very different thing. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that the recording process is a lot more controlled, I guess, in a way, but that's really not like, I don't think I'm really kind of, I think that's the best way to describe it. It's just more controlled.
If someone were to go through your record collection, and we talked about kind of the eclectic nature of the music that you make, and certainly of the music that's on record thus far, what all of these artists have in common, and I think you alluded to it earlier, or you can let me, is that they all are original in their own way, whether it's, you know, Ryan Adams, who's constantly reinventing himself, or Alabama Shakes, who have reinvented themselves twice now on record, or even Bob Dylan, who experimented in all kinds of different ways, from being both an acoustic folk rock and then moving to rock and then, you know, doing what he does now. That's kind of what you're trying. Are you reinventing yourself on an, I mean, that could become tiresome too, reinventing yourself all the time.
I don't look at it as tiring though, because it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy the challenge. And I don't even really look at it as a challenge. To me, I get bored really easy. And I think that, you know, for me, it's just a desire to continue to grow. And like I said, I'm interested. I have an inquisitive mind. So I'm always going to be, seeking to explore stuff, because I enjoy that.
Are you constantly writing? I mean, if you're inquisitive and you're constantly thinking about, I assume the world around you, not just the music you're making while you're on stage, are you putting licks down on your phone? Are you writing stuff down? Is that an ongoing process for you?
It is. I mean, it comes and goes. I mean, it's kind of, it comes in waves. I don't really force writing. I think some people force it. I write when I'm moved to write, which happens to be fairly often. Yeah. But I mean, you know, we're already like halfway through the process of like making a new record now, which is drastically different from Rise and Shine. So yeah, you know, I'd say that process continues pretty much all the time.
Well, that's good. I mean, you always want to be moving forward. You know, you're with these three guys all the time and you're on the road, and I can tell that right now you're on the road driving to the next gig. Do you talk about set list, or is that totally up to you and you just drop it on them before the show?
No, we talk about it. We usually, what we'll do is we'll discuss it right before we go on stage. We'll discuss usually like what we're going to open with. And maybe we'll go as far as to talk about the first, like, I don't know, three songs maybe. But that's about it. From there, it's just kind of goes where it's going to go.
I would imagine that fans follow you around, or try to at least, or catch a couple shows at a time, because the opportunity is there for them to hear more than, you know, more than one thing.
Yeah.
So you see familiar faces in the crowd all the time.
Yeah, we do. We do. And there's conglomerates of folks that we see fairly often, and it's really fun to see them, you know, because we've gotten to know a lot of the little groups of folks, if you will, you know.
Right. Well, you're doing like this New England these three nights in New England, so I would imagine that that fandom will kind of be following you around, and then, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and we've had some, you know, like, there's a conglomerate of folks from New York that when we're in the Northeast, you know, will come out and come to multiple shows and stuff like that, and that's really fun for us, you know, because it's fun to kind of try and give them something different every night. It makes it even more so, you know, nice. Again, I hate to say, I hesitate to say like challenge, because I don't really view it that way, but it's fun. It's like, oh, cool, you know, this is their third show. What haven't we done yet, you know, that kind of thing.
It probably keeps the freshness, also probably keeps it genuine and authentic. I mean, you don't have an opportunity to fool around too much. I mean, these are songs that you have to know. These are your own songs, and thus you speak probably with your instrument and your voice authentically mm-hmm. every time you play these songs, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. very much.
So this totally, I get it. You have, you know, a bunch of dates left in February, and then, you know, only three dates left currently on the docket. What's next for you guys? Are you going to the studio to put those new songs down, or what's next?
Yeah, we're gonna get back from this tour and back home to Nashville, and then we're gonna finish take the rest of March to finish a new record, and then we have a West Coast tour that's gonna start in mid April that's about to be announced, and that'll bring us into May. And then, we go to Europe, for festival season in the late spring, early summer. It's going to start ramping up into, getting ready to release a new record, which I assume will probably be early fall, if not late summer.
So the cycle just continues. I mean, you're touring, you put out a record. I would love to get the other guys' take on it, but I assume that they feel similarly, because they've been at this with you for, you know, in this configuration, at least for, you know, 2 or 3 years now. And it's just fun, right?
Yeah, it is. It's more fun now than it's ever been, really. And because we've had some spells where it was a little more difficult and things were a little more hectic and the schedule was a little more ridiculous. Whereas now it's nicely kind of tempered, where we're out for just long enough that it's really fun, and then we have a little break, and then we go back out, and, you know, it's kind of, there's more balance now than there was, for sure.
Thanks so much for taking the time, man. As I mentioned off the top,
I really appreciate it.
You're fresh to these ears, and I really dig the sound, and it's various influence. So I appreciate that your various influences coming through in the music that you make. And it's always nice to hear somebody who, you know, is genuine and really wants to make interesting music all the time and mix it up. So I appreciate your time and thanks for coming on the show.
Well, I really appreciate you having me, man. Thank you very much. And thank you for all the kind words. I do appreciate it.
Intriguing and somewhat mysterious, marks that define a true artist. I suspect we will hear a lot more from Simo as JD and the band continues to develop their sound on the road and in the studio. You can get tour dates and more at simo.fm. As we leave you, have a listen to I Pray, an extensive psychedelic-infused jam which features several intense instrumental parts that showcase each member's strong play, especially JD's on guitar. Very cool.
I pray for humanity, because I believe that we'll succeed. I pray for all my enemies, that they all will be given prosperity. In need, that help finds them immediately. I pray for the poor, that all of us who have.
those in power. Let them and their judgments don't bring upon our darkest hour. I pray that we all can join together and somehow find a way to love each other forever. I pray for the oppressed, that they'll all be given justice. I pray for gay rights, that one day soon they'll have the same as me and my wife.
Yeah. you love and peace.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love and you, their fans. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.
Osiris.